Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. White Sox baseball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago on one of the biggest nights of the baseball season. Ronaldo Lopez has all the pressure in the world on his shoulders. It is Bill Melton night at Guaranteed Rate Field. Baseball night in Chicago begins our coverage at 6:30. Jason and Stoney have the call on Melton night at 7. Meanwhile, it's a day off for the Cubs, but the bats have been off for over a week. The offense hasn't scored more than 3 runs since last Tuesday. Cubs limp into the Lou for an NL Central showdown with their rivals. Anybody panicking? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good day. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From the Associated Press, the one and only Jay Cohen. From the Jam.
Yeah, there we go.
And ESPN 1000, where he works with me. He's Jordan Cornett at WGN Radio and Fansided.com. He is Mark Carmen. All right, let's get rocking and rolling on the Cubs. Anybody back to panicking? They lose 2 games. They're now 1 game out of first. And I'm hearing people panicking, Mark.
Well, no, there's no panic, but I would like to have the Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta discussion with you, as we had on the show many times, mm-hmm. where, you know, Jake Arrieta won some of the biggest games in the history of the franchise, and yet they went out and signed Yu, who supposedly was tipping his pitches in the World Series, and now I guess he's not tipping his pitches, just giving up balls that still haven't landed. Not looking good here, Cappy. Not looking like a good decision.
Yeah, but hey, look, that's what I was going to lead with, too, is you got to be concerned about the $126 million going Yu's way with what you've seen so far. I think anybody out there, and I know you're beating the drum for relax. What, 16
yeah,
and 12?
Starts.
Sure, but he's looked miserable in the fifth inning.
Jake went out the other night and didn't get through the fourth.
Crushed. I'm not gonna look at this comparison to Jake at this point. Like, I can take it away from that and just say what we're seeing in Yu Darvish, you have to be concerned.
Not good.
I'm a little bit concerned about Rizzo and maybe this injury impacting his development this season. There is concern there. I'm concerned with Joe Maddon always wanting to seem like the smartest guy in the room and tinker with the lineup more than maybe he needs to.
Tinker with the lineup at 6. That won the World Series.
Okay,
that's
but we can't keep
does.
We cannot keep living in the fact that they've won the World Series and say
that's what he does. He did that in Tampa. That's who he is.
And that's fine. But just because maybe it's not working in 2018. And again, I say all this because we're doing a show. I also recognize we're 28 games in, but yet still there's some trends, like Mark's saying, that are worrisome when you're talking about the Cubs right now.
It's way early to be like hyperventilating about any of this stuff. I would say you got to separate things in general. In terms of their hitting, they're in a funk right now, but they're going to score runs. I mean, scored runs for years. I mean, this is just a funk. The Darvish thing, I still say that this is a lot to do with a guy getting used to his surroundings, what's available to him, and where he's at. I think they will get together and figure this out eventually. You can't really make the Arrieta Darvish comparison until much later because you don't know how either of these guys are going to age. I think it's really silly to go before then, I guess.
Our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question, go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote, and you can weigh in. Right now, 63% are with me. Level of concerns, 1.
I get that, and I don't think there's any reason not to. I'm just saying I'm watching this closely. Would you say Jason Hayward's been worth the money that we've given him?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so as you look at it, at what point can you say I'm a little bit concerned about it? I'm just reacting to what I've seen.
Were 5.5 back at the break, and I wasn't concerned.
I don't think overall about the concern about the Cubs is this team not going to make the playoffs. I'm not anywhere near that. But I'm saying some of the stuff we are seeing is worthy of concern. And I will say, the bats coming alive, Jay, one of the big reasons they did was Anthony Rizzo is Mr. Consistency. Is he healthy? And that's a conversation that people aren't really willing to have right now that I am slightly concerned
about. He says he is.
Of course he does.
Well, let's look at 2 things that you were bringing up here, which I think are interesting. Because, you pay Jason Hayward. That's a swing and a miss. And there's a chance.
It's a big money swing and a miss.
Right, it's a big money swing and a miss. And we'll see with you whether that's a swing and a miss. You are trying to pay impact guys to come in right now and win right now when you don't have the money outlay that you're going to have to down the line and make tough decisions for Bryant, for Rizzo, for Javi. You're not going to be able to have all these guys. So you needed to hit, in my mind, home runs if you're going to go that way. And it's a they're not even hitting doubles right now outside of the speech,
but
which was phenomenal.
They're not paying them to win right now. They're paying them to win in October. Right now, I mean,
what's you proven to us in October?
Hey, you was really good in October last year up until the World Series, and then he fell apart.
But
you know, listen, I mean, it makes for good fodder to get, you know, upset, but give them time. I mean, you know, you talk about Rizzo. Rizzo's had back problems on and off his entire career. In the end, his numbers look like.
Back
you know?
Of his baseball card always says 30-plus bombs and
no question,
doctors.
And I'm saying that's what we've been accustomed to, and that's what's and you, kept the Cubs
listen,
at this
Listen, you
level.
Have to understand. You have to understand.
But there's durability
that
comes
from that. One, if he was really hurt, they'd sit him down. There's no need to mess with it right now. And two, even if he's hurt, if there is a problem where they have to take him out for extended time, the way this team is built, they have all sorts of options they could do at first base in terms of moving guys around and still recover some of that production. It's the beauty of this roster. I just don't understand the hyperventilating.
I'm not concerned about Rizzo. I think things
are you hyperventilating?
No.
We're not hyperventilating. That's not what
you guys aren't at a one.
I'm at a one on them making the playoffs, Cap. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. I also look at it like, is Albert Almora going to be your leadoff guy in the playoffs and he's going to do it? Okay.
No, I don't think they look at him as a leadoff
guy. Okay, so who's it going to be?
Probably Ben Zobrist will be doing most of your leadoff.
And Ben Zobrist is doing just fine right now.
Okay, so at what point are you going to hand that back over to him? The bottom line is they don't have that position locked
up. I wouldn't
up.
Be shocked if Schwarber ends up back up there.
I would be. Why would you do that?
In the postseason, you could see Schwarber being a leadoff guy for this?
I'm not even thinking postseason. I'm talking – at some point this season giving him an opportunity to do that again. Well, so you need guys that get on base.
I like Almora up there. I think it's great that he's getting this opportunity. For the most part, he's been running with it. But it's still, we'll
if
see.
If you hit your way on, you're not going to be a good leadoff. And you got to learn to walk. Those guys don't want. Javi hasn't walked since April 11th.
Right. That's the problem with those two. But it's you see that a lot in baseball right now.
When it comes to hitting, you also have to talk. There's an organizational dynamic here in the sense that they went from John Mailey, which was like an uppercut style, you know, launch trajectory type of hitter, to Chili Davis, who's preaching more line drives, use the whole field. They're doing this now, and they're taking some lumps now in hope that there is more success when they reach the Max Scherzers of the world in the postseason. So this is all sort of like supposed to pave the way for this. Will it work? I guess we'll see. I mean,
it's interesting you mention that because I wonder how much this does fall on Chili. And again, it's very early. I feel like I have to say that with every comment that I make. But how much does this fall on a hitting coach and the adjustment to a new hitting coach and maybe stylistically?
Yeah, these are still veteran players.
Sure. That's a question. That's not a statement. I'm curious if there's any of that that does. Do you think, is this an adjustment to a new hitting coach?
I don't think it is as much as guys are just not hitting right now.
I think it's a small slice. I mean, I don't think it's a sizable one, but I think it's a small slice. Yeah. You can see the way you can see in moments the way they hit that they're listening to a new guy and there's differences. I mean, they've gone more opposite field this month than they did maybe in the first half last year.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think the manager matters because you have so many decisions to make. And after that, I'd say like the pitching coach matters, the hitting coach.
That's what I mean.
Too much credit, too much blame. Like, what are that?
Agreed.
I mean, come on, what do they really do?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Cubs and Cardinals tomorrow. You get that game right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Big three-game set. Then the Cubs will come back home and have the Miami Marlins in town. Let's talk NBA playoffs. The Cleveland Cavaliers stole game one in Toronto. That just kills you, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I'm having a really hard time. I'm not going to lie. It's absolute torture for me.
Are they destined to go to the NBA Finals again?
I mean, I would never pick against LeBron in the East, especially this East, and the complete meltdown of the Toronto Raptors, which was absolutely embarrassing.
Well, first of all, did you see the final two-minute report yesterday? The Kevin Love foul should have been a flagrant one, and the league admitted it.
Yeah,
it would have given them possibly a six-point lead and the ball in the final minute.
Sure, but just how about Valanciunas? Can you make one layup out of eight?
Just give me one,
honestly. Can you tip a ball in that's sitting on the rim? I mean, my God. And then DeMar DeRozan, you're DeMar DeRozan. You don't drive in down one in overtime going for the win and kick it out to a guy who's been sitting on the bench for the entire fourth quarter and Fred VanVleet. No disrespect to him. You don't put him in that position. But this guy, this shot right here, this is a ridiculous shot. I mean, that's big time.
I got to say it's remarkable that you spent 60 seconds there mentioning all these people and not talking about that guy
at the start
to the finish. Because right, that's all this is about.
I love LeBron. I'm a fan. But I would like to know how the league could not call a flagrant foul and then tell me a day later, because that Toronto wins that game then.
Well, stop.
I mean, this awful, awful call.
But can we talk about what LeBron's doing with a team that is one of the worst teams in the NBA if he's not on that team? We're having a conversation in the green room. Who's the second best player on his team? Kevin Love?
Yeah.
Kevin Love is not the old Kevin Love. Kevin Love is playing the five position to make this team more dynamic, more versatile. He's getting beat up, guarding bigger guys. Who's the third best player on this Cavs team?
Don't know. Can't answer.
Are you comfortable saying George Hill on a playoff team that's competing for a world championship? Because that's the conversation we're having when we're talking about LeBron James right now. You got to talk about this guy for who he is. And even though we're here in Chicago, you don't need to compare him to Michael Jordan. You're watching greatness out there night
in
and night out.
There's no question about that.
Now, again, I'm not saying we should crown him, although he already is crowned the king, because he's going out there beating Victor Oladipo, and he's beating DeMar DeRozan, and he's beating Kyle Lowry. We should crown him because of the rigors of an 82-game season.
You want to crown
him? Been out there. He's been out there every game, and he's played, and he's delivering again here in the postseason and doing it with an awful team.
Cleveland is losing tonight here early in the game. Do you believe it's a must-win for the Raptors?
Absolutely. They can't lose this game. Are you kidding me? You go down to 0-2 on your home court, can't have it. Look, LeBron's.
Come on, you got to do it, Mark.
LeBron is phenomenal, but to one thing you just said there that I will nitpick at, he took a month off this season. I think in the month of March, he averaged 20, shot 40%, and just gave up on the team until they completely reworked the whole roster. Now, I think that was strategic on his part. He was like, these guys blow. These guys are terrible. I'm going to please rework it so I have a chance in the playoffs. But he actually stopped playing. He didn't play any defense for a month. Didn't do any shot.
He played 82 games.
Yeah, he was just out there.
He was out there. And to say take it off, that team was in complete turmoil.
Chaos.
That team needed to be flipped over. It's been flipped over. And the moves that they made, the wholesale line changes weren't like, oh, my God, they got Jordan Clarkson.
All right.
This team's ready to do it.
It is a big night for the Chicago White Sox. So, of course, give the ball to your best starter. Reynaldo Lopez gets the ball on Bill Melton night. So where does he slot into the rotation once the White Sox are ready to compete for the postseason?
Turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Is your mom the real MVP? Nominate her today at NBCSportsChicago.com/MVP. Mom, the chance to win 4 tickets across town this Mother's Day.
I hope David Kaplan was watching that play by Moncada. He was a little lukewarm on Yoan's defense on our pregame show yesterday. Hi, Cap.
That's what I heard.
Get a razor.
Oh, geez.
He's got all that facial hair. He doesn't need that.
Well, you grow it in places you can, Pally. In case of David, he's been bald since 3 years old.
Wow. These guys are something else, man. They are something else. Let me just set the record straight. I never said Moncada, I was lukewarm on his defense. I said he wasn't as good a defensive player at second as Javi Baez. That's all I said. Moncada's a beast. Going to be a heck of a
hold
player.
On. Did you get bullied into shaving? Is that what happened?
No.
Did you get a couple jokes thrown at you?
No, I got some money donated, big money donated for a cancer charity. So that's the deal. But those two guys, you made the list, boys. You made the list. All right. It's a big night here because it's the 50-year anniversary that Belton Bill Melton join the Chicago White Sox, and he's an esteemed member of our family here at NBCSportsChicago.com. I think it's really cool to see a guy be around one organization for that long.
And yeah, and if you've been lucky enough ever to have been in the same room with him, yeah, I mean, people get to watch him, and he's so great when he talks about it. But if you've ever been in the same room with him, the enthusiasm is contagious. He's a really fun guy, and yeah, it's cool to see him celebrated.
And a really humble guy who, you know, wasn't asking for something like this, which makes it probably even cooler that the recognition is coming his way and being able to celebrate a guy like that. I think it's incredible.
I was doing real estate before he ended up getting rescued coming to the White Sox. I was talking to him about it over at Guaranteed Rate. Feel a little back. He's like, not residential, commercial. I was a commercial. He wanted that on the record. That was very important to him. So for whatever reason, he did not want to be, you know.
I'm glad I now know that distinction.
Didn't want to be selling houses. He was doing offices. So, but I just a tremendous representative for the Chicago White Sox, and well earned.
Yeah, he's a great guy. All right, let's talk about Reynaldo Lopez. This is one of the guys that came over in the Adam Eaton trade with the Washington Nationals, along with Dane Dunning and Lucas Giolito. Everyone thought Lucas Giolito was going to be the star part of that trade. But I would tell you right now, the best guy they've got so far is this guy. He's a beast, Reynaldo Lopez.
There's no question. He's been their best pitcher all year. And you love how he goes out there and competes. We're seeing right here, just missing bats all day long. So that's been the best story for the White Sox all season right now, Reynaldo Lopez, really.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting for me as we talk about the Cubs and we're 28 games into their season and projecting, you know, is this team going to get there? Is this a team that can win another World Series and bring it home for Chicago? I'd be equally as excited in a completely different vein for these White Sox and be going to these games because you're watching guys like Lopez. Giolito had a good outing last night. To be able to watch young talent that's going to be the future of this team that's already showing star power, to me, I think that's really cool stuff. It has to be a great thing.
You know, I like Lopez a lot. I still think in the end, Giolito will be better. I think we're talking slotting. I mean, I think in the White Sox dreams where they project this forward, you're looking at Kopech, Giolito, Lopez, and you're sort of filling out the back two. And he's been great for them. Like, I mean, he has been the best story for them so far, I would say.
All right, let's, as we take a look at, you know, some of the guys they've been able to get, Giolito has been okay so far. He was not bad yesterday, but has not yet been that elite, oh my God, best minor league pitcher in the game. We'll see how things pan out. Michael Kopech probably slots in as their number one. Yoenis Cespedes had an issue in the ball game last night as he slid into second base. It's all about the swag. It's all about the bling. I get it. You wear ice in your ears and the whole deal. But why you've got to wear a $200,000 diamond necklace while you're playing Major League Baseball, here's what can happen. He broke the necklace and the diamonds are all over the infield.
If you, honestly, Cap, if you were a baseball player, I think you might do that. That would be.
I was about to say, Cap, you can't sit here and like denigrate the guy. Look at your suit. I mean, you're a flashy guy. Like, that's what you're about. You got to appreciate this. If you could swing a bat like Cespedes, you'd have the diamonds around your neck.
I don't think I would.
Look at the one shot. Look at this guy. I mean, what do you wouldn't do diamonds? Like, come on, man. Flash.
I would say Cap.
With substance, though.
I would say Cap's flash is more like practical substance than a diamond necklace on it. I will say this on the list of great teammates. Here's to Asdrubal Cabrera picking up his diamonds when he went out to the field for him and shoving them in his pocket on his way out.
The whole thing is Cespedes going.
Yeah, he was really upset. Yeah. I thought you'd, like, laugh about something like that.
Well, I mean, I think you can speak of this, too. Like, I've been in NBA locker rooms where, like, back in the day, like, Allen Iverson, he would have, I mean, every piece of jewelry you could possibly have. And they'd be, like, thrown in the corner of his locker, like, in a weird envelope that's just, like, falling over. Something. Isn't that, like, about $50,000 right there that you just, like, I mean, they have, there's so much money that, and it's just, it's, you know.
AI would like to have some of that.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would.
Where would go?
He'd like to have
go to the house, probably.
All right, Joey Logano avoided the big one and finally got his first win of 2018. Meanwhile, Jimmy Johnson still hasn't found victory lane. Scotty Paddock here to discuss that next.
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for Authentic Fan Nights, featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Good news for Joey Logano. I picked him to win, and then he won at Talladega. Scott looked at me like, you're an idiot. And he also passed his post-race inspection, so he gets to keep his playoff points this year. Logano in the playoffs after avoiding the big one and winning the Geico 500. Chicago Light Speedway president Scott Paddock here and in studio on Sports Talk Live. You looked at me when I picked him. You went, yeah, okay, good luck with that pick. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I forgot about that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Broke a one-year winless streak and got Team Penske into victory lane for the first time this season now. So, and we saw some minor accidents, but we avoided the big one. The big one came in practice, actually, on Friday. And remember, this is restrictor plate racing at Talladega, so they dial back the horsepower a little bit. That keeps all of these cars together. Joey Logano took 7 flips in practice on Friday, walked away from the race car. That's how safe these cars are these days.
Do you think now that Logano's got a win, you see him going on a little bit of a roll now? I mean, how much does that help him, I guess, confidence-wise?
Normally, I'd say it would, but the anomaly is these restrictor plate super speedways. Anyone could win those. You get lucky with the draft, you get a good push. So if he had won on a mile-and-a-half track, one of the intermediaries, I'd say maybe he's going to turn the corner. But anything goes on a super speedway, so we'll see. But he's a talented driver, no doubt about it.
Scott of the Notre Dame Basketball Brotherhood here. I've got a question for you. Martin Truex Jr., Chase Elliott, two household names that are kind of almost on the playoff picture on the outside looking in. Do these guys have a realistic shot at this point in the season?
No doubt. I mean, Martin Truex Jr., he went on that run last year.
Who wrote that for you?
I'm impressed with his NASCAR. Yeah. So, no doubt about it. Chase Elliott, he's got to get the monkey off his back. He has not won yet, but he has been a dominant racer, and it's only a matter of time. But he's one of those young guns that gives you a lot of hope about the future of the sport, because a lot of these big stars are retiring now. Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart. So we need guys like Chase Elliott to come, and he's got the goods. He's going to be there.
What's up with Jimmy Johnson?
Well, that's a great question. Hendrick Motorsports overall, every year NASCAR makes a couple of aerodynamic changes, and some teams adapt to them more quickly than others. Hendrick Motorsports has just been in a funk by their standards, and Jimmy Johnson certainly, you know, over a year now without a win. So, but we're going to Dover this weekend, Cap, and I think if there's a track for him to turn around, this is the one.
All right, let's talk quickly. NHRA coming back.
Yep, May 31st through June 3rd, the fastest form of motorsports on the planet. It's the 20th anniversary of Route 66 Raceway, and Big Daddy Don Garlitz, the Michael Jordan of drag racing, is going to come out and help us celebrate and be part of that festivity.
He's going to drive?
No, he's going to be the grand marshal, kind of hosting the festivities.
That guy was amazing when I was a kid.
Yeah.
There was Don the Snake Prudhomme, Cha-Cha Muldowney, Big Daddy Don Garlitz. Those were the three.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He's coming out, and we're looking forward to having him. And you know, if you haven't seen a nitromethane fuel car go from 0 to 340 miles an hour in under 4 seconds, you haven't lived.
All right, before we get out of here, we've got to make our picks.
Jimmy Johnson, he's going to break the streak of Dover this weekend.
All right, I'm going to go with Kyle Busch.
Okay, 2 in a row?
We'll see if we can get it done, buddy.
Good luck.
All right, guys, all thank you for being here. Congrats to this weekend's Chicagoland Speedway winner, Don Hutton of Naperville, Illinois. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/Speedway for your chance with 2 tickets to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Overton's 400. 1 grand prize winner, you're headed to the Wynn in Vegas for the NASCAR Awards Ceremony. And right now, NBCSportsChicago.com/Speedway. And as always, you can get your tickets right now for every race at Chicagoland Speedway. Go to ChicagolandSpeedway.com. All right, that's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball in Chicago next. See ya.